Wednesday, 5 p.m. and maybe a minute or two. Time for American Hit Radio on 90.3 WHPC. I'm Tom Ryan. I'm your host for the next hour. My lovely wife and co-host, Hattie Morales Ryan, here as well with me.
Got it.
And we're going to be spending the next hour with you as we do every Wednesday and Friday between 5 and 6 p.m. As you may know, if you're a regular listener, we spend Wednesdays focusing on a specific album that fits into one of two categories. Either the alternative top 40, which is 500 albums that were, I wouldn't say necessarily obscure, but albums that never made the top 40 in their career or in any sense or time or at all. And that would be 500 albums of the alternative top 40. And then the actual top 40 list, which is the top 500 of the top 40, are great albums that did. And this is one of those great albums that did. And I'm going to have a lot of fun playing this album because there's really only three tracks for me to play. It's a jazz album, but it's a jazz album that I am very proud to say that if you're, say, you're a person that is maybe on the fence with jazz, or maybe you're not that familiar with it, this is a great album to be listening to get a feel for jazz and its history. It's an album that makes me very, very proud to be American because it just has so much American influence in it. And it is by somebody who I consider to be maybe the second most important person of the 20th century, right after Louis Armstrong. We're talking about none other than Duke Ellington. Now, I'm tempted to call this the best live comeback album of all time, but I'm afraid that if I did, that it would be an insult to the legacy of Duke Ellington because he never really went away. Duke worked his craft from the moment he started a band in his hometown of Washington, D.C., until 2 months before the day that he died. We're talking about decades and decades and five decades of work from Duke Ellington, nonstop. Duke stayed on the road for over 50 years through rich times and lean times, when he was celebrated worldwide as a true genius of jazz music, and he continued even as popular tastes for orchestrated jazz dissipated. By 1956, the general public viewed Ellington as an quote-unquote old-school performer, outdated by the cool and the hard bop new schools of jazz that rendered the big bands obsolete. After 30 years, he was acknowledged as a legacy artist who managed to hang on to his career. And that was how the audience that viewed Ellington when he made his late night appearance at Newport in 1956. And yet he blew them all away. The entire album is fascinating, but the capper by far is the extended Diminuendo and Crescendo in Blue, which is the last track we'll be playing, where Hendrick allows sax player Paul Gonzalez to blow for 27 consecutive choruses before bringing the orchestra back for a mind-blowing climax. The solo itself may not be spectacular, but the excitement of the moment is contagious. It nearly caused a riot in its time, and it still remains a legendary high point in the myriad history of live performance by anybody. Now, keep in mind that at this point in time, the album is released in October of 1956. It peaked at number 14. When Ellington recorded it that summer, July of 1956, most big bands were already folded up and long gone. It's over for them. Ellington himself was working anywhere he could get work. He was performing in ice skating rinks.
Wow.
Just to stay busy. He paid the band out of his own pocket with the royalties that he was getting paid for the hits that he had from the 20s through the 40s. So he was staying on the road was a losing proposition for him. He could have just kept that money and lived very happily. But Ellington loved what he did, and he didn't care about the money. So he was paying his band out of his own pocket, even though they weren't earning it from the gig. At the time of the festival, he didn't even have a record deal.
Wow.
I mean, that's how pretty much how down and out things were. He did end up with the contract with Columbia Records, though, when they heard this tape. So, let's get this started by playing the first track, which is actually a compilation. It's a combination of three songs. Basically, it's the Newport Experience, and it's in three separate sections. Part one is called Festival Junction. Part two is called Blues to Be There, the blues piece that Ellington wrote. And part three is called Newport Up. Now, they're all just names. Ellington would do this like for almost every time he got a nice gig. He would write exclusive pieces of material that were never played anywhere ever before, just to basically keep his edge. He was a songwriter, a fabulous one, an amazing arranger. So he had these three pieces and put them all together and said, he really hoped that he would have made some sort of an impact at Newport, even though the odds were stacked against him. But this opening is fantastic. He'll probably explain it for you along the way, because he will stop in between each of the three tracks. So here then is the opening set of music performed on Ellington at Newport from the 1956 LP entitled Ellington at Newport.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. As you well know, one of the outstanding names in the field of jazz is that of Duke Ellington. And the group of men that are with him are all musicians that are considered among the best, and certainly when working together under the direction and the very wonderful inspiration of Duke Ellington, one of the most capable groups in the field of jazz at the present moment. I'm going to turn it over to the Duke and let him kind of introduce, because he does it very facilely and very easily. So it's Duke Ellington.
Thank you very much, Father. We have prepared a new thing. And of course, it's done especially for the Newport Jazz Festival. And so we'll call the first part of it Festival Junction. Jimmy Hamilton will state the theme. Mm-hmm. second section will be titled Blues to Be There. Thank you. Green Ant, trumpet. Russell Foco, clarinet. The third section will be Newport Up. We'll be right back.
you could tell that Ellington definitely had it set up, that he thought that this was going to be like a very important performance for him. But it wasn't working out that way in the beginning. They were supposed to go on at 8:30, and the band members are wandering around drinking. And when the time came, they couldn't even... Ellington couldn't find all the... Some of them didn't come back to the stage.
Oh, no.
It's like, so we had to start the set with missing band members who were busy drinking all over the festival grounds. So he cuts the first set short. I'm sure he was really miffed. Gets everybody together. They come back for a second set, and now he really wants to do a 1-2 punch. So he opens up with Take the A-Train, and then he plays the suite that we just heard. Now, he wrote it specifically for this. So Ellington loved his new material most, so he really thought that was going to be like the showstopper. And the crowd was like, yeah, great. As you could hear, there was enthusiasm. But Ellington still wanted more. So now he announces Johnny Hodges, saying, if you've heard the saxophone, then you've heard of Johnny Hodges. And then he brings him out to play this amazing number. It's called Jeep's Blues.
Thank you.
All right. Now, you can hear there that the crowd's like totally shook up. The songs are not exactly in the order that they were performed here, but what was happening is Ellington desperately wanted to basically kill the crowd. So he decides, he announces that he's going to play, quote, some of our 1938 vintage. And they dig into a song called Diminuendo in Blue and Crescendo in Blue. Now, on 78, there was one on each side. And you'd have to flip it over, of course, to hear the entire
78?
Piece. So, and I, you know, on the 78 RPM record.
Oh.
So now, you know, here it is, the 50s, and there's an album, and you can go as long as you really, you know, you get up to 25 minutes really on a side. So Ellington's not even thinking like that. He just says, we're going to play the first part. Then we'll go into the second part, but I want to have like a sax solo in the middle to tie it together. So Paul Gonzalez is going to get the break in the middle. And Ellington is excited, so he pulls Paul aside and he whispers in his ear. He says, I don't care how long you play. Play as long as you can, as long as you want to. And you'll hear what's happening. It's going on. And you hear Ellington during this. You'll hear him prodding him, like yelling, go, go. Come on, Paul. Dig in. It's really
give it to
crazy
him.
And exciting. In the middle of this, the audience goes berserk. A woman in a black dress, a woman with platinum blonde hair and a very gorgeous looking woman starts to dance in the first row, and the crowd is so taken by all that the place just, it was a near riot is what ended up happening. It was really a near riot, and they had a very hard time getting Ellington off of the stage because the people didn't want to leave. So here it is. We'll just play this out to the end. This is Diminuendo and Crescendo in Blue. You won't hear me coming back because this plays for about 15 minutes. I just want to say thanks for listening and also remind you to, if you can, if you're interested, you can go to our website at AmericanHitNetwork.com and catch up on all of the shows that preceded this. We'll see you then. Have a great week, rest of the day.
And Crescendo and Blue. These are separated by an interval by Paul Gonzalez. Thank you.
About a minute or two left, so I figured I just wanted to come back to say, you're welcome. Right? I mean, that's just an amazing,
phenomenal,
amazing piece of music. Crazy. Awesome. That whole middle section on Diminuendo and Crescendo in Blue, by the way, is only three people besides Paul Gonsalves playing. You got the bass player, Jimmy Wood, the drummer, Sam Woodward playing, and Ellington on piano. That's that whole middle section, it's just those three with Gonzalez blowing over it. And then that crazy arrangement, of course, coming back where they just go over the top. And Cat Anderson with those impossible high trumpet notes at the end. Just to basically, just to make sure you get chills.
And I did.
Yeah. George Wine, my last fact for this, you could play some closing music, I guess, in the background. But George Wine, who happens to know a little bit about live music, he's the man who started the Newport Jazz Festival. And he's also the person responsible for, one of the major people responsible for starting the New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Festival,
yep.
Which I believe is one of the most phenomenal festivals of all time and is actually happening this weekend. Don't ask me why I'm not there. I'm not happy about it. I love to be there for Jazz Fest. But George Wine had said of Ellington at Newport that this is the absolute best performance of Ellington's entire career. And Ellington's career immediately after this was revived. He came back and he basically went out as a statesman who was both popular, wealthy, well-known, and pretty much got the recognition that he deserved for the entirety of his life, which makes me happy as well. Gotta love Duke Ellington. Well, thank you so much for joining us for the past hour, and we will see you next week. Take care, folks.
See you Friday.